Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:24. Hello, brethren. What's your answer to this? Is it science? Is it technology? Is it you? Of course not. The definition of wretched is in a very unhappy or unfortunate state. The body of death Paul speaks of is his humanity, his mortal existence. The infirmities of human life aside, yet important, he speaks of his sin nature, which is always used by our enemy to keep us in that fallen state we were born into by Adam. This nature which makes our flesh abhorrent to God in his righteousness. Yes, sir. Abhorrent. We as human fleshly beings fall short of being recognized by God as righteous in his sight. Hence the efforts of sin and wretchedness, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Was Paul speaking of the immortality of his earthly body? Nay, friend, Paul was speaking of something far deeper than the skin. He was, of course, speaking of his soul. He should know, shouldn't he? He wrote by inspiration of Jesus Christ himself, who through his sacrifice would stand as the guarantor of the salvation of God to those God called and chose for salvation at the end, Matthew 7:14. Isaiah also confirms the unfortunate fragility and hopeless sinfulness of the human Adamic condition in chapter 64, verse 6, when he declared, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." What a way to go, huh? Job came to a painful conclusion to the matter of his afflictions as a human being when he declared in chapter 42, verse 6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." I'll put it in the vernacular here. When was the last time you abhorred yourself for being a jerk? Huh? For doubting your father? For loving the image you see in the mirror, like Narcissus did. As a true follower of Christ, when was the last time you abhorred yourself when you looked back to your life before you were called and something like God's grace and mercy caused you to greatly fear what might have happened to you had you not been called to God through Jesus Christ? More thanksgiving and contriteness and humility. Yep, I hope so. The first step in your journey as being called of God was repentance, wasn't it? Oh, yes. Repentance and humility before God. Was it of a godly sort? Instilled in you as a powerful gift of God? Or was it worldly repentance and sorrow? 2 Corinthians 7:10 and 11. Hence the great gift of the faith of Jesus Christ poured into your life upon this calling. Did you deserve it? This is what separates the saints from the ain'ts. This is one of the working parts of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? And 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Was your calling that of God or of expedience? So what was it that caused your godly sorrow and repentance? And the whole class said in unison, grace. Did God call your neighbor, your friend, the butcher, the baker, the whole world? The guy down the garage fixes your car? Nope. God called Y-O-U. God called out many from the whole and chose a few for the hope of salvation at the end of their roads, their lives on earth, or as Peter put it, at the end of your faith. Read it, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, did this salvation of your souls come at the end of your faith when you walked down the aisle at church? Laid your hands on the television for the guys in the ice cream suits and repented? You're kidding me, right? Let's grow up here. When does this end come? Yes, at the end of your life here. And it was by this gift of faith and our endurance that we enter the kingdom of God, by his mercy and his very amazing grace. A powerful, successful, dedicated, articulate man like Paul was blind to the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Hence off he went to destroy those vessels which contained the grace and spirit of Christ. What a trip it must have been for Paul to be twice blind. Blind to the truth, capital T, and to lose his sight on the road to Damascus. Well, by the grace of God, Paul's sight was restored, as was his inner spiritual sight granted. He was blind, but now he sees. Some calling, wasn't it? Heavy duty. Scripture states that hateful, powerful, wretched Paul was foreordained not only to follow and preach Christ, but to see Jesus literally. God said to Ananias of Paul, Ananias was kind of freaking out. He was afraid of Paul. But God told him, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So did Paul decide one day on the road to Damascus to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? You'd best think long and hard on this. Galatians 1:3. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Your manner and your actions are translated as conversation in the old text. Your manner and actions change as a result of the opening of your spiritual eyes by our Father. Contemplate Galatians 1:3. Paul's conversation was his actions. He pursued and wasted the followers of Christ. After your calling, you stand before your God alone as Paul was. Paul was ordained to preach the good news of the kingdom. You know, the followers of Christ are ordained to follow Christ. Are we really changed? If we are, do we have to advertise it? Do remember that the prize at the end of your race is a crown of life, eternal life. Your race is one of endurance, not speed. And oh, by the way, you won't be wearing that crown. You're going to be handing that over to Jesus. Anyway, back to the road here. Paul stated that he had not attained in this race. Read his words about his race. Philippians 3:12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now there's the race, brethren. The good fight of faith continues all along your path, O wretched ones, me included. Yes, wretched, while we wear this tent, this body of death. And who shall deliver us from this body of death? That we might stand in the presence of our God and his Savior at the end of our race. It's a rhetorical question if one is filled with the Spirit. Simple. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yo. And what do you really have in this world? Stocked up? Locked and loaded? Enough gold for the great reset? Do you have it made? Jesus told you what you really had before you were called into his light, and what you actually have if you have decided to walk both sides of the fence. Bad move. Jesus says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, Jesus says, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Think about it. One shepherd, one Lord, one side of the fence or the other, one road, broad or narrow. And once we finish our race, and we're called home, and we are relieved of this cursed, unfortunate, unhappy, and failing flesh, we could tell Jesus face to face he was right when he told us, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. By the amazing grace of a mighty and sovereign God, our Father. The Lord hath promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. You get your shields up, and you do keep to the road with Jesus. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, by the will of our merciful God and Father, be with you. Amen. I'll see you again if God is willing and the cricks don't rise.